Reading from the book of the prophet Hosea. Thus says the Lord, they made kings in Israel, but not by my authority. They established princes, but without my approval. With their silver and gold they made idols for themselves to their own destruction. Cast away your calf, O Samaria. My wrath is kindled against them. How long will they be unable to attain innocence in Israel? The work of an artisan, no God at all, destined for the flames, such is the calf of Samaria. When they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. The stalk of grain that forms no ear can yield no flower. Even if it could, strangers would swallow it. When Ephraim made many altars to expiate sin, his altars became occasions of sin. Though I write for him my many ordinances, they are considered as a stranger's. Though they offer sacrifice, immolate flesh, and eat it, the Lord is not pleased with them. He shall still remember their guilt and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Verbum Domini. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord. Our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. They have mouths, but speak not. They have eyes, but see not. They have ears, but hear not. They have noses, but smell not. They have hands, but feel not. They have feet, but walk not. Their makers shall be like them, everyone that trusts in them.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest."
Verbum Domini.
In our first reading today, God is warning Israel about the spiritual danger that they are in because of the way that they're living. Just a couple of verses before today's reading starts, the image is given of a vulture being around the house of the Lord, which signals danger. But the people of Israel responded, "My God, we Israel know you." They thought because they simply knew who the Lord was, because he has revealed himself to them, that they were his chosen people, that they were safe. And the Lord says, not so. Just because we say we know the Lord. God rather says, "Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him." You can also think of our Lord's words in the gospel. Remember when he said, "Not all who say, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. The true disciple is recognized as one who seeks to do the will of his heavenly Father, who seeks to put God's will into practice, striving to be faithful to him." And so the prophet Hosea calls out two of Israel's sins in our reading today. Israel had established a line of kings without having sought God's will or his approval or consulted asking for wisdom and guidance in the process. And secondly, they made and worshiped false idols, very grave sin. Hosea says, "They made kings in Israel, but not by my authority. They established princes, but without my approval. With silver and gold, they made idols for themselves to their own destruction." So rather than trusting in God and seeking his will, they put trust in themselves and in human power without reference to God. And who made and set up these golden calves for Israel's worship? It came from the top. It came from the king that they had set up. This is Jeroboam the First. He was the very first king of the northern kingdom of Israel after Solomon's kingdom had split. It came from the very top. So Hosea, after exhorting them to cast away their idols, he pronounced a proverb. "When they sow the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." In other words, Israel will get exactly what its evil works and sins deserve. St. Paul would later say in his letter to the Galatians, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, to think, if Israel would have sown righteousness, holiness, if they would have sought God's will, seeking his counsel, asking for his guidance, if they strove to keep the commandments, what would they have reaped? What would have been the fruit? So our reading today was from Hosea chapter 8. Two chapters later, Hosea chapter 10, we get an answer. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of mercy." They would have received God's mercy if they would have sought his will. But because they had not sought righteousness, the Lord did not take delight in them. So our reading says today, though they offer sacrifice, the Lord is not pleased with them. Why? Because they weren't repentant. They weren't sorry for their sins. Sacrifice should be offered to God with repentant hearts, with hearts open to God and to his grace and his mercy. And Psalm 51 states this clearly. We hear, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God wants us to repent and to turn back to him, to have these repentant hearts. Today's psalm also addresses the sin of idolatry that Israel had fallen into by showing how ridiculous it is. These are man-made creations that cannot speak, they cannot see, they cannot smell, they don't have the abilities that we have, and they're made by human hands. And those who worship false idols become spiritually blind. Again, St. Paul would talk about this. and make this point very clear in his letter to the Romans, the very first chapter. When he said, so they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Right? So we know that sin, it darkens the intellect, it weakens the will. We know that there's only one true God, and he knows our thoughts, he knows our hearts, and he's the only one that can completely fulfill us. And he is a loving and merciful Father who provides for our needs and knows what is for our good. Now, it's important, too, that because it's easy to think that this was a problem for the Israelites during the time of the Old Covenant, and it's no longer an issue, but this is still very much an issue. We have to continually struggle against this temptation. The Catechism tells us that idolatry not only refers to false pagan worship, it remains a constant temptation to faith. Idolatry consists in divinizing what is not God. Man commits idolatry whenever he honors and reveres a creature in place of God, whether it be gods or demons, for example, Satanism, or power, pleasure, race, ancestors, the state, money, etc. Our Lord says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Many martyrs, the Catechism goes on, died for not adoring the beast, refusing even to simulate such worship. Idolatry rejects the lordship of God and is therefore incompatible with communion with God. And further, the Catechism would describe an idolater, one who falls into this sin, as someone who transfers his indestructible notion of God to anything other than God. So again, this is something that it's good for us to be vigilant about, that we keep vigilance over our hearts. And we know that true and complete happiness is not found in riches or in human power or fame or in any particular human achievement, however good these things may be. But true happiness, rather, is found in God himself. And in our gospel today, we hear the beginning of it is the cure of a demoniac who cannot speak. And we see that the initiative here is not from the man, this is important, but it's from others. St. Matthew tells us others brought this man to the Lord to heal him. So the man benefited and was healed because the care and action of others who brought him to the Lord. And we each have a role in this, in bringing others to the Lord. And when the Pharisees, because of the hardness of their hearts, when they accused the Lord of driving out demons by the prince of demons, his reaction is a lesson for us too. He continued going on carrying out his mission. St. Matthew tells us that after he was accused, he went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. So what a good example for us when we meet with obstacles or we meet with discouragement from others, to keep moving forward. Remember on July 1st, we celebrated St. Junipero Serra. His motto, siempre adelante, always forward, right? We always move forward, especially in the spiritual life, seeking God's will. We don't move back or allow obstacles to hold us back. We keep moving forward and seeking God's will. And after we see how our Lord was moved with compassion and pity for the people and their sufferings, he goes on to say, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. And a response to this is prayer. He said, pray, therefore, ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. So we pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and the consecrated life. Vocations are a gift from God. And it's good to pray that more hearts will be open to respond generously to God's call, to follow him wholeheartedly, to respond to the call specifically to be a laborer, as the Lord puts it, a laborer for the harvest. And the Lord says that the harvest is abundant. In other words, that there are many who are already ready and prepared to receive the gospel, to receive the truths that Christ gave us, to accept the invitation to the kingdom of God, and to embrace Christ's teaching that lead to salvation into heaven. So we pray that more young people will respond generously to the call to the priesthood and the consecrated life, and also for every Christian to respond wholeheartedly to God's call to holiness, right, to make Christ truly the center of their life. Others should clearly be able to see that there's something different about one who truly has Christ at the center of their lives and their hearts. It should be evident that their lives are marked by love, by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. St. Jose Maria Escrivá would comment on today's passage in the Gospel, stating that the cry of the Son of God, lamenting that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, is always relevant. That cry came from Christ's mouth for you to hear too. How have we responded to it up to now? Do you pray at least daily for that intention? So can we pray that many more will respond generously to God's call in their lives, similarly to the response of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Here am I, send me."